Let's get talking some division.
Oh,
So
okay.
I want to start off. I just want to say, did you play what did you what was your experience with Division One? Did you ever play the Division One, or how far did you get in that?
I was one of those guys that bought the game, played the season pass. There were certain things that were kind of somewhat inherently broken. But I looked past the flaws because overall it was actually a beautiful game.
Did you end up playing, ever play any like the DLC or anything like that?
I dabbled here and there. I mean, at the time, I think I was more into Destiny at the time, which might be an unpopular opinion, but at the end of the day, hey, you know what? Different strokes, different folks, right?
Oh no, yeah, for sure. My myself, I unfortunately I never played any of the DLC. I heard always heard good things about it, you know, especially with the raids and everything. But you know, like you, it's the same thing where, you know, at that time, there was just a lot of new games coming out. Like, you're seeing a lot more shinier things coming out. So,
Yeah,
like.
I'm kind of expounding upon that, man. Like, I'll be honest with you. Most game new IPs, like, if you look at most of the new IPs that have launched in the last, say, like 5 years, like, and most of them haven't had the most successful of launches per se, based on like fan reaction. Like, things were missing, glitches were missing. It wasn't what they thought it was going to be, right? And the Division's kind of like the original Destiny, right? It started off, had a bunch of issues, but it came on strong at the end and it actually gave you hope for what the next game was going to be. Now, the difference between, let's say, Destiny 2 versus the Division 2 is that the Division 2, they clearly learned their lessons and applied them. As much as I love Bungie, obviously, we both love Bungie. We've been playing Halo for years. They just didn't seem to get it. You know, like maybe it was Activision, maybe it was Bungie. Who really knows at this point? But yeah, it's one of those things where I'm very, very content with the Division 2 right now. It's a solid game. There's a couple of glitches here and there. Nothing game breaking though.
Division One, though, I played, I got up to the max rank. I completed the storyline. I did some extra stuff here and there, but I never got that deep into it like a lot of people had with the raid and the DLC and stuff. But like we said, you know, there were just, you know, newer games coming out, you know, of course. So more stuff that just kind of drew your attention away from it. But, you know, what I can already see though with Division Two, unlike Division One, with like Division One, I was like maybe level 20 or so, close to 30. But when I stopped playing it, you know, and I kind of just fell out of love with it. Division Two, I don't get that feeling. I mean, I know we're only a week in, but it just feels like I get home, I want to play it, I'm at work, I'm thinking about it. You know, it's always in my mind, even a week after.
You know, it's exciting to actually see that from a game developer right now because, I mean, if just looking at most end games for like looter shooters in general, not even just that, even some MMOs are struggling like that. Like World of Warcraft's having its own issues with end game, right? Like end game being so bad and the lack of replayability, you know. But what I realized very quickly was the Division 2, its end game's almost a different game. So it's still the same missions, like it incorporates everything that, you know, it built throughout the story. But you have different tiers, you have talent trees, like you have
I feel like
exotic weapons, like it's great.
with Division 2, even when you think you've hit the end game, you've never really hit the end game. You know what I mean? Like, there's always more to do, like you're saying. They just find ways to just keep you interested in the game, which is great. And I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with the other expansions. I know they've already said the names for them and everything, but I'm kind of excited to see what they're gonna do, especially since a lot of it's free too for a lot of people. Even if you don't, you know, that's insane. But it's gonna be great.
See, like, and that's, you know, like, I know a lot of people knock on developers. I mean, EA is probably the greatest punching bag on this planet. We could all talk smack about that. Like, and
Oh,
you know
right,
how
yeah.
I felt about Anthem. Like, I bought into the hype originally, literally 24 hours before release, canceled my pre-order on it just because you get that feeling, you know, like the. And I started watching a little bit about some of the people that were doing like EA Origin Access and all that. And I didn't see Endgame. Like, there were so many just basic concepts missing. Like, if there's a public event going on, you'd think a marker would pop up on the map, but that's not the case.
Right.
You know, how are you going to make the world feel alive when you have to, like, guess nonstop? You know what I mean? Like, it just...
Right.
And it breaks the rule. Like, every, you know, there's a, I forgot the exact time frame, but every so often in a game, an event has to happen for somebody to keep interest. I think it's like every 45 seconds or so, right? Okay, in most games that you play, every 45 seconds or so, a random thing will happen around you. Enemies will spawn, something, right? And that constant movement and lack of boredom keeps people engaged. Red Dead Redemption 2 does a fantastic job of that. Just random things happening on the side of the road. You know, you come across a bandit camp. You see like a smoke. You see smoke in the distance, and you see a camp that you don't want to go attack. Or some dude is in a freaking like horse and buggy, but he's in a cage and he's being arrested, and he's asking for you to save him. Then you get a treasure map from him. Like, there's certain games that just don't space things out very well. Anthem's one of those games. The Division 2 does a fantastic job of it. Enemies randomly spawning, but they're not set spawns, you know? It's not predictable, and that's nice.
Yeah, and you've experienced that. I've experienced that the AI in this game, it feels like it's on a whole nother level from any other game I've played, to be honest. It's smart, it's, you know, tough and challenging. Not only is it challenging, though, and tough, but it's challenging and tough in a way that it makes you frustrated that you want to beat it. You don't feel like you want to give up. You just want to get back in there and beat it. Yeah. You know you can.
Dude, yeah. Hands down. I mean, it's the way I like to describe the AI, it was like playing checkers against the AI in The Division. Everybody was a bullet sponge, right?
Right.
It's like, okay, shoot this sponge. Eventually it'll go down. Okay. And, you know, you felt kind of invincible based on your gear. Like, you didn't really have to worry about dying all that much. Then in The Division 2, it's like, nope, your armor, it's there. But, you know, you get melted like butter if you don't play strategically.
Right.
So it's like comparing checkers to chess, right? And, you know, obviously the yellow bar enemies, purple bar enemies, they are way more aggressive. But depending on how you move. They react to you just like you react to them. Like, if you're playing aggressive, they move around right when you're about to get the angle, you know?
So they
make you work for the kill, and it feels so good when you get the, when you down an enemy, because you had to earn it, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly how I feel. And, there's one thing I want to bring up, that I was on Reddit today, on the Division 2 Reddit, and I just want to get your thoughts on this. A player was walking around an area called the Judiciary Square, and I'm not exactly sure on the map what it is. I think it's somewhere
the far right side of the map.
Top right.
So there's a stronghold that's kind of in that area ish. So
he found a sign in a building in like one of the basements, and it said big sign, NYC after dark. A return to the Big Apple, January. Now, do you think that's a hint that they might do something where they might maybe make some DLC or something for January, next January for New York City, kind of linking them to?
You know, with game developers nowadays, they usually don't make things that blatantly obvious.
Right.
It could be, you know, I mean, well, you have this story going on with, you know, the original Division agent who broke apart Aaron, I forgot his last name, but, you know, he broke off and, you know, he was in New York City at one point. So
right.
One of those things where it's a connected world. So it could be going back to New York City, which would be cool in a way. I'm kind of over the New York City map. I think you pointed this out when we first started playing the game that it's like, all right, very repetitive. No offense to New York City. Hey,
right.
You know, I know you're over in Buffalo, man, but you know,
I like
DC and the aesthetic changes. I like that every area feels different, and
right.
New York City was very repetitive. I mean, it's concrete jungle.
I can agree with that. I mean, they did try to change it up a lot. But like you said, it's New York City. It's extremely urban, so there's really not a whole lot you can do. I think they could have maybe incorporated Central Park better into it. That would have been pretty cool,
Yeah.
but I'm pretty sure that would have taken a lot more work with all the, I'm not sure what would have happened there,
Yeah. I
but.
mean, it's any kind of map development. I mean, like, and if you look at the side-by-side comparisons, I saw an article today too. It just showed pictures, right? Because, I'm all about pictures because I'm simple like that. Showed a side-by-side comparison of the White House, like all the monuments, right? Like the Lincoln Memorial, all that. They did a fantastic job. It's not a perfect one-to-one, obviously, like they've originally said. They had to change certain things to make the game fit, right? But damn, they did a good job. Like,
The funny story was, when Division One came out, I was really into it, and I was, playing it, and like literally after it came out, and I played through the story. My brother lives in New York City, and I went to go visit him, and it was the first time I had ever been to New York City. So I visited him, and he took me to Times Square, and it was like I got this weird kind of like sense of deja vu where I was like, wait a second, I've seen that, and it's kind of weird how playing a video game, even though you've never been there, and then you actually go to that area,
Yeah.
it seems almost familiar. Even though
Well,
you've never actually been there,
you
which is
could be an
amazing.
I Am Legend moment too, so don't forget that. Zombie apocalypse and whatnot, right? So,
No, it could be.
but
All right.
going back to what we were saying about the DLC, I if they've already named it and it's not named, I mean it could be a micro DLC, but I think it has something more to do with the story connecting New York City to DC. Like, keep in mind we're in a continuous universe, so it's one of those deals where I could see something kind of connecting the dots there, besides just our main character, right? Like, other than that, if you play through the campaign, you realize there's some references to New York City, but not a lot to like really make it feel like your story in New York matters.
Oh, no, right. Yeah.
And that's a good thing in a way, because it allows you to kind of have that creative interpretation, but at the same time, they've got to throw something in there for the hardcore audience, for people to be like, okay, hey, I get it. Now this is kind of cool. This is actually how this affected this. Like, there's got to be some kind of, it's got to have some meaning. Everything you do has to have a meaning, right? That's what makes it exciting. So I could see it being more story based as opposed to actually physically, like going back to like, New York, which some may disappoint some. Doesn't really disappoint me because of the aesthetics, but maybe I'm just being a diva, who knows?
I'm taking. I think a lot of the DLC is probably going to just be based DC based. I honestly don't think they're going to do anything in New York City. If they do, it might just be maybe like an in-game event in Division One. People could go back and play and unlock something in Division Two.
Yeah, they don't want to do that though. And the reason I say that
It's
is
true.
you want to keep your concurrent player count as high as possible. I mean, at the end of the day, I have to admit this, and I hate to admit it, but everybody's trying to please investors. Nothing concerns investors more than having less concurrent players, because the more players you have in a game, the more people are excited to throw money at you that may not know anything about games, You got to keep in mind, like, the investing audience, they don't have a freaking clue for the most part what gamers do. Like, they're not
Oh,
like
no,
invest
yeah.
yeah they like they weren't Bitcoin people, you know what I mean? Like,
Right.
they would be like the opposite on that end. They would have never predicted that, like a cryptocurrency taking off. So it's one of those deals where you kind of look at it and you're like, okay, it's got to be something that's a reference. It's maybe a character comes back that everybody recognizes.
Could
The one thing I will say about the Division is I don't remember a lot of the characters, so I'm really hoping they do something to tie it in so that I'm like, oh yeah, I remember doing that.
Right. But Yeah, the one thing what you're saying about the characters, you know, is that the one thing that the Division that they're really good with, that Ubisoft's really good with in Division 1 and in Division 2, is that and it blows my mind, is just like just the writing, you know, the amount of backstory on just even the small characters that they've had to do is it's insane.
Oh, my
it's
favorite insane. Thing is my favorite thing is coming across the cell phone conversations and the echoes.
Oh yeah,
them. Excuse me there, but them playing out an event, and you're kind of just getting the feel of them more. Like, I forgot the name of the first lady that runs the theater settlement.
Right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but she so like she was fantastic.
Yep.
I didn't necessarily care for her at first. But then I started kind of picking up the cell phone. I saw the echoes, and I'm like, okay, there's a lot more to this person's story than just being some tough person, you know?
Right.
Because, like, you want somebody to have more depth to their character. And if you're looking at just the cutscenes themselves, and if you're a casual fan that's like, you know, because, like, for example, I love to read a lot of books. I love the detail, right? That's why whenever I'm playing a game, I love the lore collecting. I love knowing about characters. I love figuring, like trying to guess what's going to happen next. So it's really, it's perfect in the storyboard department, mainly because of this. If you're a casual fan that really doesn't care too much about the story, but just wants the overall gist, you can play it. If you really, really value the depth and the knowledge and understanding like the characters deeper, that's there too, but it's not forced on you in an in-your-face way, right?
Right.
Like, a great example of this would be if anyone's played through Halo 5. I read the three books prior, like the Forerunner Saga, prior to actually playing Halo 5. I had to find myself explaining stuff to you because you were like, what the heck is that? Who is this person? What do they have relevance for this? And I'm like, right. Oh, here's their story in the book. Or here's this about Spartan Locke. Or, you know, it was one of those things where you're kind of like, okay, the point of the books are to be the extended universe, not to guide the universe, right? So, and I think a lot of gaming companies kind of add too much detail to their stories to the point where it turns off the casual fan. But then, you know, when you're really looking at it as a whole, like a huge nerd like me, I loved Halo 5 story. Mm-hmm. But that's because I read those three books to understand it, you know?
Well, let me I'll ask you one question before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer, in terms of lore in a video game, do you prefer the lore where, like Halo, where a lot of it is behind the scenes in the books and a lot of the, like, you know, audio recordings? Or do you what Destiny does with the Grimoire? Or I have a third option for you. Would you, do you like what Division 2 is doing, where it's like in-game with cell phones and, you know, cutscenes and other little tidbits here and there that you find?
So that's a tough one because I don't – because I do the background research on it, I'm one of those people that I can do either or, right? But I understand that it goes back to concurrent player count. Goes back to fan interest in a franchise, being able to make a Division 3 in the future. You want to appeal to a broad audience still. So for the sake of appealing to a broad audience, I'm cool with them dumbing down the cutscenes a little bit for me to do the extra work to learn more, as long as it's still there as an option. And it's a proven method. And I'm going to revert back to the Halo franchise, obviously. And I'm going to do that a lot while we do this podcast because I'm a Halo fanboy. I can't help it.
Oh, Halo, we are. It is roots, right? For a lot of us.
Dude, yeah, like Halo 1, Halo 2, like the terminals, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was perfect. It's a proven formula, and the Division is taking that, expounding upon it. Most games that are actually really successful in being accessible from a like knowledge standpoint, from like a story standpoint, they follow a similar model to that. It's not always the same, but even Destiny 1 had the ghosts, right? Destiny 2 didn't have ghosts at first, which was a little bit weird, but, you know, it's one of those things where having the ability to having the option to learn more, making it something that's collectible. That is something that engages players like you and me.
Right.
And we're able to learn that stuff without reading a book. Right.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where that's a proven method. You keep the story simple, you make it easy to follow, and then anybody that wants to learn more, you give them the option to do more. Simple right. as that. And it keeps replayability up too.
I think, you know, that's a good place to end it. I kind of agree that, you know, regardless of how they do the lore, they do need to make it kind of like a collectible and really accessible. Easily. So
like our friend Walla, love him to death, dude. May not be interested in the story like that.
Yeah. Exactly. Someone like that who they just play through the game. And like I, for example, I knew a guy who played Destiny 2. And I hate to say this, but he skipped probably almost all the cutscenes. Mostly because he just wanted the action.
He just liked wanted the to loot play. And shoot. The loot and shoot, baby.
He just the looting and the shooting.
Yeah.
And he would like skip a cutscene and it would just blow my mind. I'm like, what are you doing? Like that's a really important cutscene. And we'd have to explain it to him later because he'd be like, what's going on? You know?
Why is this guy doing this?
What, that guy's dead?
Who is that guy? that's always the funniest thing ever, man. But it's, you know, it's got to be a to each their own situation. And I think the Division 2 has that perfect balance. They do fantastic.
Yeah. So we'll definitely keep continuing more and more about Division 2 in our next segments here and there.
Yeah.
But I just want to wrap it up there. So
cool.
We'll keep this going and we'll see everyone next time.
Appreciate it, guys. Peace.